Now, before we begin this morning, I want to read a scripture that I was reading this morning. Martin Luther said, he read the scripture, "Let their tables be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them." Now, we know that the table is the pulpit, and from the pulpits comes the Word of God. However, not all who claim to preach the Word of God are preaching it from a righteous perspective. They're actually preaching it falsely. So he says, "The snare is Scripture itself, namely insomuch as it is understood and handed down." So, in other words, if they're reading it wrong, with a wrong understanding, then it becomes a snare. "In a deceitful manner, so that under the shadow of pious instruction, the souls of the deceived are simply crucified, are craftily a snare." Then he says, "From one of the same holy scriptures, one draws himself death and the other life, the one honey and the other poison." Here, hence nothing else must be treated with so much reverence and so altogether without arrogance as the Word of God. It at once ensnares the proud and traps and offends them, though in a way what they do not perceive, indeed under a fascinating, beautifully disguised. This is not the Word's fault, but that of human pride, which arrogantly raises its head against it. The stumbling block consists of this, that they who are ensnared by false teaching constantly take offense. For if they are ensnared, it is through that which they are, that they understand wrongly. To that they cleave, and with it they plunge, in which it they are pleased. So without realizing it, they permit themselves to be ensnared willingly. But they take offense at what is pointed out to them as the truth, from which they turn away. If they cannot avoid it, the truth, they distort it and deny that Scripture must be understood, so understood, that at least their eyes are darkened, so that while others see, they themselves do not permit themselves to be enlightened, and while others are raised up, they remain perverted in their mind. This is Bauer, heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we approach thy word this morning reverently and with humility, Lord, knowing that it can be taken two different ways. I know by experience that even things can be heard that are not heard or not said. And so I pray that we are careful when we listen to the word and rightly divide it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're going to take signs and events of the parousia of Christ. This will be part one. Part two will be this afternoon. This is a sermon I actually preached before, but it's actually expanded on upon. And just to show you differences of things that are happening right now. Also, I just finished up the fifth question from the brothers, so I don't know if I'll do it next week or the week after, or maybe wait till till Father's Day, but it's very good. I mean, the questions are all pertaining to the resurrection, all pertaining to when we will see those people who have gone on before. Do we get our change first? Do we get our change after? Those kind of things. And it actually, the scripture is very, very plain. So it really enthralls my heart to not only see those questions coming from the brethren, but to know that our minds are focused on the resurrection. So this morning, I would like to take a simple message concerning the parousia of Christ and make a list of all the signs, events, attributes, and characteristics that were prophesied by scriptures that are associated with the personal presence of God at the end time parousia, or the presence of Christ. I am doing this just to show you all that Jesus said would take place during his secret presence and what Paul, Peter, James, and John had to say. Because everything they said was in seed form. But now we see 81 of the 76 events have taken place, and we can enjoy the word even more, knowing that God has been very very busy for your sake and my sake, bringing these harvest time seeds to pass. Now, I think it's tremendous that we are coming to the place to where this entire Bible is becoming to us things manifested in the sower. In other words, what we read as seeds in this Bible are now truly manifested, and we can actually see them. It's like Brother Branham explained one time that he said, when I was caught over on the other side, he said, I'd like to call it a vision so I won't stumble you, but he said it was more than a vision. And he said, in fact, I just have to say it wasn't a vision and it wasn't a coma, because my wife, Mita, was standing there hugging me as I came into this dimension. So he is letting us know that she was still there and then she disappeared. All right. So she was permitted to, how you want to call it, go between dimensions for a moment. All right. So notice he says it wasn't a vision, because in a vision, you actually see the thing, but you don't really partake in it. I mean, you know, you might watch yourself partaking in it, but in a vision, you see it, because vision means to see. But in this case, he was not only seeing it, but he was actually hugging those people, and he was being hugged back, and he felt one of the five senses. He felt himself being hugged. So he was translated. All right. So anyway, that's one of the questions coming up. And we're going to get into that translation and what it will be. And it's just really, really exciting time. So first of all, let me read from Matthew 24, beginning at verse 23, to see what Jesus predicted would take place at the end time of his parousia, or personal presence. I'll read through what he says and then list them for our understanding. Now, remember, people have read this scripture 1,000 times, if not more, and millions of times globally, and they read it as thus. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us what these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy... And they will read it as coming, because it was translated as coming in the King James Version, but it's actually parousia, or presence, and of the end of the world. Well, now, you see, if you just say coming, then your mind is focused on his arrival. That's it. Not what he does once he's arrived, but just his arrival. In other words, that's all of Christendom has completely forgotten, that he appears before he comes, and that there's a presence, you know, that comes before his coming. In other words, like God appeared to Abraham and Sarah and did certain things and made certain promises and changed them, and then the promised son came. All right. So they're reading it, as Peter said, it becomes a stumbling block every time the preacher comes to the pulpit and uses wrong terminology. All right. So that's what I'm saying, is that now we know that they asked him the question, what'll be the time of your presence will be like? It's like I sat in that room with Brother Branham and in the dream, and I said, what will the time of the presence be, or of the resurrection be like? And he said to me, it'll be like suicide. And I said, I knew right then, I knew exactly what he was saying, that he didn't say it will be suicide. He says it'll be like suicide. In other words, your mind will be made up. You're going. No one can talk you out of it, like suicide. Your mind is made up, and you're just waiting for it to take place, okay? So, what shall be the sign of thy parousia and of the end of the world? So, this is number one, verse 3. He says, he asks the question, what will be the sign of thy parousia? Now, that means this question is, what will it be like? What are the signs of thy presence, thy great appearing before thy coming? What is... That is what the question is. They wanted to know what this great time will be like. So first of all, there will have to be a great parousia of Christ, this time when his presence will be here in such a way that it has never been before. That is the first sign. His presence will be a sign. Now, can you imagine if they're asking him this question, and he told him, and he told him 52 things will take place, and we say, okay, we're going to be at the end time, there's going to be a few things in this and that. Listen, we are living proof that we are living through those things that have taken place, okay? So verse 4 says, take heed that no man deceives you. This time of his parousia will be great deception. Now, when have we ever had such great deception as we have today? He said the time of the great parousia, the great presence, will be a time that every man will try to deceive you. He said, take heed that no man, it means every man, no man will deceive you. It begins with religion. All right. It begins with the word. It begins with them preaching preaching the scriptures in a way which your minds don't have an understanding of what they are saying. They're reading the scripture, but they're reading it wrong. All right. Now, he begins with religion, the word. God himself will put out, will be put out of the churches. The word itself put out of the church. It will be a time when he is standing at the door knocking. Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking, trying to gain entrance. And since Jesus told us his word will judge in the last days, we see that behold, the judge standeth at the door. So who's standing at the door? The word. Then prayer will be taken out of the schools. Notice, you all experienced it in the 60s. You know, you kids didn't, but you have now. But anyway, Prayer was taken out of the schools. Okay, the word first was taken out of the churches. Then prayer was taken out of the schools. Okay, and so his Ten Commandments will be taken from the Capitol buildings, and God will not be allowed in public life. That means his presence will be spurned everywhere, and even the name will be removed from the DNC platform, as it was in 2008. And since he is removed and unwelcome, his doxa, which is his judgments and values and opinions, will also be removed, and the news then, without Christ as the center of it, will become fake. Fake news, just made up with man's opinions and values, and the entire media will become a fake media with fake theology. And since God has taken over, God has taken from our American life, our economy then will become fake. And as I said, our education will become dumbed down and fake and just indoctrination. And since God will be taken out as creator and substituted with fake Darwinism, our medical treatments will attempt to remove all signs of the greater creator and substitute our mRNA instead of your God-given DNA, which then will destroy what God has created and substitute what man has created. Remember, your DNA is a message. It's not like a message. It is a message. It is also musical. And, you know, they took the song, dun, 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 you know, the death song, the death march, and they put it to music, and they played it to the plants, and the plants died. Okay? They took Mozart and Beethoven, played it to the plants, and the plants thrived. Okay, because they're godly songs, you know, hallelujah chorus and all this, you know. So anyway, and then germ warfare will then take over, and they will breed such in their labs, claiming to render to Caesar what is Caesar's instead of rendering to God that which is God's. And so all persons will by choice become a vessel owned by the state, but they will not render to God which is God's. Now that's a mouthful I just said. But you can look at every statement that I made and say amen to it, and you have living evidence, you are living witnesses to the destruction of the word, or God being put out of the church, then out of the schools, and out of the courthouses, out of politics, out of medicine, everything. I could just close it right now and we'd have a hallelujah time because we see it. Now, Isaiah 49:16 says, see, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. That's Isaiah 49:16. So we are God's. and our DNA belongs to God. Because your DNA is a message from God, it is not like a message. Your DNA is a message from God, and it spells out who you are. But mRNA is a messenger RNA, which they add to your DNA, thus taking the message, adding to, which means the plagues, right? And they're adding to your message, which means the plagues, because you are a message from God. Every one of you, you look like you do, you talk like you do, you act like you do, because that's the way God made you to be. All right, Psalm 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. All right, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Okay? Ephesians 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his presence in love. Okay? In other words, in his presence, and then he says, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So before, when you were just a seed planted in the earth, actually before the foundation of the earth, so before, when you were still a seed in God's mind, he knew you. And not only did he know you, but he ordained you. And that was according to the good pleasure of his will. It wasn't that you said, well, you know what, I love you, Jesus, and I'm such a great person that I'm going to just treat you so nice and I'm going to speak about the word so nice and everything else. Hogwash. He said, I loved you before you were. I love you, and it's my will that I loved you. So when you think about God in you working to will and to do, think about him. It's his will. And then the doing is his doing, because it's God in you that's doing also. All the great things that I've had in this ministry, where I've seen the presence of God in many different various shapes and sizes, it has not been me at all. It's been him, and I am just a witness to what he, in his good pleasure, is working out. Okay? So the great deception begins with the removal of God from all things in life. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am anointed, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You see, it's their anointing on them that's the deceiving part. Brother Ram talked about that, false anointed ones at the end time. So, verse 5, and also we point number 3, false anointed ones. So the great deception begins in the church, but then moves into education, into courthouses, the Capitol buildings, media, and medicine, by first putting God outside. You see, these are the beginnings of the signs and events which constitute his great presence here. He comes down in 1909, then these signs and events all begin until 1933. He begins showing himself that he's here. And if you look at how he is removed from all aspects of life, this shows the great deception. Also, these events, look, the deception has already taken place, but it is still taking place. I mean, in Brother Bram's day, it was in religion. Then it went into politics. Now it's in medicine, it's in education, it's in everything. I mean, when we were kids, we sang the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, what for? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. One nation under God. They took God out since we've been born, since we've been raised, since we were in school. All right, but God was still in it back when Brother Bram was here. But God was taken out of the church. The word was taken out of the church. All right, and so it was taken out of politics. And, of course, you got the great, they called it the great society. It was actually the great perversion, because when we go into end time depression judgments, you're going to find out that whenever a country is in trouble, they go to 0% interest rates. Now, they're pretty low right now. They've been much lower. They've come up a little bit. But you see, if they go up, they won't go up anymore. I'm telling you right now, they won't go up because, I mean, they might go up 0.25%, but they'll come down. Because a nation that is in debt up to $30 trillion can't afford $1 billion on top of that. That's only 1%, okay? So, you know, if they're paying any interest rates at all, they can't afford to put on top of that the interest, so they're going to try to get it to zero. They tried it. It was an experiment back a couple of years ago when Joe Biden first took over. It was it was actually negative percent. Can you imagine putting your money in the bank and they take out from you and they borrow from you and you get no interest for your money or even 0%? That's why, there are ways to make your money, but it's not through keeping it in the bank, okay? So, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. That's verse 6. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I have this as number 4, but it really should be 4 and 5. Okay, that's why instead of 84 events, signs and events, there's actually 86 because we've added a couple, because I had that as just one event, but it's actually 2, thus making 85 and not 84 at this point. Thus we have and are witnessing 80 of the 85 signs and events, because wars are what happens. That's one thing. And rumors of wars are what is going to happen. All right? So we have both. We have wars, and then we have Putin right now is rattling his saber, and we're going to have a war. So it's rumors of wars. Okay? Now, in verse 6, wars and rumors of war. Now, but let's look at the first things first, okay? Wars. We have had, since 1909 begin with World War I, then World War II, then in the late 40s we had Myanmar, then in the 50s we had the Korean War, then in the 60s wars in Colombia, Venezuela, and Ecuador, and I should add to that Vietnam, then in the 70s wars in Ethiopia and Vietnam, okay? Then in the 90s, the Falkland Island wars began between England and Argentina. Then in the early 2000s, wars in Nigeria, Niger, Burkina Faso, Mali, Benin, Togo, Algeria, Tunisia, Chad, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Mauritania, etc. Then the war between the Hutus and the Tutsis in Congo, Rwanda, and Uganda, Burundi, and Mexico, Boko Haram in Cameroon. Then in 2010, Syria, Nigeria, Mali, Yemen, Desert Storm in Saudi Arabia. Then the war in Somalia in the 90s, in Afghanistan. The Kurdish wars, Yemen wars, Indo-Pakistani wars, Israeli-Palestinian wars, and finally the war between Ukraine and Russia. Then we come to number 5, rumors of wars. Now, that was just wars we've had already. We've all witnessed them. We've all seen most of those wars ourselves. You see, that's why you are going to be a hot ticket on the other side, because you are going to have to pump your mind, because they're going to pump it. People that died, that were, let's say, from Wesley on out, they're going to be interested in the things that you've seen, and you're going to tell them all about all these wars. So then we come to number 5, rumors of war, and we're hearing daily the news that Russia is getting their missiles ready for World War III. When will this happen? It has already begun in fledgling skirmishes between Russia and Ukraine and NATO and the USA. Then Armageddon, which will be gone, we will be gone for. So we have listed number 4 as wars and number 5 as rumors of wars, and then 6, nation shall rise against nation, and 7, kingdom against kingdom, and finally, you see, when it's nation against nation, it's not just a war. You think of a war as shooting guns, bombs, you think of, munitions of sort. But we don't realize that there's a war going on that I didn't even name. Can anybody tell me what it is?
Star Wars.
Huh? Star Wars. Well, that's our defense, but... Hey, can you tell me of war? Now, you got your minds all in thinking about ammunition. Think of a war without ammunition. Huh? Germ warfare, right? And what? Spiritual warfare. And what? I don't have my wallet on me. I don't have my wallet on me, but can you guess if I say my wallet? Economic war. We are changing the dollar. You see, it's going to bricks. It's going to, you know, back gold, you know, by bricks. It's going to, listen, when we get into this, you're going to understand. When we get into depression judgment, you're going to see it started in Brother Bram's day. And he said that by 77, he said the one system that's holding the whole nations together will be gone. What was that? It was gold backed dollars. And now it became oil backed dollars. And now it's just fiat currency. You know what? Kiss goodbye because it's not worth nothing. It's not worth the money that's printed on. You might get a dollar for a dollar. I mean, you might get a couple pennies for your dollar, but that's about all it's worth. You know, in just 100 years ago, 1909, when Laodicea started, the dollar was worth $1.20 or $1.30 in today's economy. Now the dollar's worth 3 cents. I mean, what you have in your pocket is worth what you could buy back then for 3 cents. That's nothing. Okay? So, you know, you might have a few dollars saved up, but really you've just got a few pennies saved up. So that's all important. And it's coming to the place, you know, where they're going crypto on you. And we may see that. We may see the beginnings of that. And they're already starting. Well, I'll just say this. How many got a notice so far in the last month or two from your bank saying we're changing the way that we're doing business online? I've gotten not only from the banks, but I've gotten from the credit card companies too. All right. You try to go in and pay your bills on your credit card and you're finding different screens and everything else. It's all totally, you have to reapply all your things that you had in there. You know, all your banks. Okay. So then we come to rumor five, war, and we're hearing daily. Okay. Then, you see, verse, okay, the bottom. Then the nation shall rise against nation. Okay, that's like your crypto wars and your dollar, your war on the dollar, and kingdom against kingdom. And finally, number eight, and there shall be famines, which we see everywhere in the third world countries such as Malawi, Mozambique. And let me just say, you know, I'm going to give you a list, but this church, praise the Lord for it, we have helped the brothers in Malawi, Mozambique a lot. We send a few $1,000s periodically, like every few, maybe 6 months or every 9 months, because they have constantly, they either have a drought or they have rain. Nothing in between. And so they either get too much water or they get no water, and so they can't plant, and so they're dependent on someone to help them. And so we have tried to be that someone, but we can't help everybody. You know, one thing leads to another, and I don't know, God's going to have to pull them out. So we're looking at famines. In 1930 to 31, there was a famine in Madagascar. 32,000 people perished. 1932 to 33, Soviet famine included famines in Ukraine and famine in Kazakhstan caused by Soviet collectivization policy, abnormal cold period, and bad harvest in the years of 31 and 32. Now, remember, Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. And they had a big famine in 33. Oh, isn't that the year that what? The Pillar of Fire. You know, he was actually here before that, but he became visible, you know, with the people because in 1909 he was here with the prophet. So, but, all right. Then the Russian SFR, Ukrainian SSR, and Kazakh SSR, there was 5 to 7 million people died of starvation. All right? Then in 1936, famine in China, 5 million people died of starvation. So between 32 and 36, you know, you have about 12 million people dying. Well, guess what? In 1909, there was basically when the flu pandemic, which was the Spanish flu, it killed about 60 million people around the world. So you have lots of people dying, okay? 1939 to 52, famine in Spain caused primarily by the implementation of autarkic economy. I don't know what that means. 200,000 people died. Then 1940-43, famine in Cape Verde, 20,000 people. 1940-45, famine in Warsaw Ghetto, as well as other ghettos and concentration camps. Note this famine was a result of deliberate denial of food to ghetto residents on the part of the Nazis. All right? I've been there. Michael, you've been there, right? Okay. Anyway, I mean, you see rows and rows of, you know, just, I mean, you see a room full of just nothing but piled up, not rows, piled up, teeth, dentures. Why? Because they took the gold out of it. Then they sent it to Switzerland, so they, you know, store their gold for them. Well, then there's also a room with piles and piles of glasses. Why? Because those are dead people. They don't need glasses. They're dead people. All right. 1941-44, Leningrad. Morocco had 200,000 in 48 because of fueling system installed by France. Then you have the Leningrad famine caused by a 900-day blockade by German troops. About 1 million Leningrad residents starved, froze, or were bombed to death in the winter of 1941. That's why Russia has, every year they have their Liberation Day, or whatever they call it. And, you know, we make fun of them. We shouldn't make fun of them. They are saying that we made it against the Nazis. We're celebrating our making it against the Nazis. That's what the Ukraine war is all about. Putin is bound and determined he's going to exterminate every Nazi, and Ukraine is full of Nazis, and we're going to exterminate them, or he is going to exterminate them, you know, and then he'll exterminate the Vatican. You know, you just watch what happens. And then, see, you all think it's going to be over when he exterminates the Vatican, but listen, we have the image of the beast. And you know what an image is? It's the same as. So we have the World Council of Churches is the image. It's already been set up for the day that the Vatican... Listen, the Vatican's not stupid. They know that they will be annihilated. But one day, they won't have to be here to have their plan implemented because the image will take it and do it for them. So, you know, I don't worry about any of it. I just worry that my soul is ready to go home, okay? 1941-44, Leningrad famine caused again. All right, then we go. All right, then we have 800,000 died out of an immediate pre-siege population of about 2.5 million perished. In the Soviet Union, 800 to a million people perished because of the freezes. Then in 41-44, famine in Greece caused by the Axis occupation, and they suffered 300,000 people just dying of starvation. Then famine in Kharkiv, or Kharkov, which between 41-42 in a city with a population about 450,000, while under German occupation, there was a famine starting in the winter of 41-42 that lasted until the end of September 42. The local administration recorded 19,284 deaths between the second half of December 1991 and the second half of September 42. Thereof, 11,918, or 59%, from hunger. The foreign offices represented at Army High Command 6 noted on 1942 that according to a report reaching municipal authorities, at least 50 people were dying of hunger every day, and the true number might be much higher, as in many cases the cause of death was stated as unknown, and besides, many deaths were not reported. Accordingly, to the Soviet sources, about 70,000 to 80,000 people died of starvation in Kharkov during the occupation of Nazi Germany. The Soviet Union then lost between 11,918 and 80,000 people. Okay. 1941-43, famine in Kiev. On April 1st, 42, well after the first winter of famine, Kiev officially had about 352,000 inhabitants. In the middle of 43, more than 4 months before the end of German rule, the city officially had about 295,000. Death by starvation was not the only reason for rapid decline in population. Deportation of Germany and Nazi shootings also played their part. Nevertheless, starvation was an important factor in the Soviet Union. All right. Then we have in 42-43, Chinese famine of 42. We had between 2 and 3 million people. The Iranian famine of 43, 3 million people. The Bengal famine of 43, Bengal, India, 2.1 million. Then we have Rwanda and Burundi. It was called Ruzagayuru, causing immigration to Congo, Rwanda, and Burundi, present day, 36,000 to 50,000. Then we have famine in 43 to 45 in Yemen, present day, there was about 10,000 people. Then we have the Java under the Japanese occupation in Indonesia, 2.4 million. Then we have Dutch famine of 1944-45. During World War II, Netherlands, 20,000. Then we have the Vietnamese famine of 1945, 600 to 2 million. Then we have 600,000 to 2 million. Then we have the 45 to 47 famine in Soviet Union, another 57 to 76,000. Then 46 to 47, we had the German, we had 100,000 die there. Then 46, 47, Soviet famine of 1946, 47. We had between 1 and 1.5 million. Then we had the Cape Verde of 30,000 in 1948. Then in 1949, we had the Nyasaland famine of 1949 in Malawi, 200 people. Then we have the 1950 Canadian caribou famine. We had the 601,958. Then in Ethiopia, another 100,000. Then we had the Great Chinese Famine. Some researchers also include the year 1958. And in China, we saw between 15 million and 55 million people starve to death. All right, that was during the Mao Zedong taking over. They just put the people in their camps. They didn't feed them. And they just died off like dogs. And then they probably used their bodies for fertilizer because that's what they do in China. They use human feces. Well, back then, I'm sure they used the parts too. 1966 and 67, in Lombok, drought and malnutrition exacerbated by restrictions on regional trade in Indonesia killed 50,000. Then we have the Biafran famine. How many remember Biafra? I remember Biafra, okay. By Nigerians, it blockaded 2 million people. Then we had the Solo drought created a famine that killed a million people in Mauritania, Malawi, Chad, Niger, and Burkina Faso. Okay, so we got a million people there. Then we had the 71-73 Afghanistan drought where 1,000 people died. Then the 72-73. You know, I was wondering why my mother would always say, eat everything on your plate because they're starving in China. Well, now I know they were starving in China. Okay, they had a drought in China. They had all these things, and they had famine in all these countries. And, you know, we sit there and we leave leftovers on our plate. So that's where I learned that I eat everything on the plate. And so my dad called it a clean plate club. You know, you ate everything on your plate. So we had a priest over one time. He was a cousin of my dad. And so, you know, he left everything but the little rope that tied the roast. That was on his plate. I said, my dad says that we have a clean plate club and you got to eat your. I was just joking, but he put it in his mouth. He ate it. So, all right. Because he's, listen, they're used to taking orders, right? All right. So, anyway. Then in 73, the Darfur, 1,000 people. Bangladesh famine in 74, 27,000 to 1.5 million. Khmer Rouge, a maximum estimate of 500,000. Cambodians lost their lives due to famine. Then we, in 1980, that's not so long ago, all right, to 81, caused by drought and affliction in Uganda, we had 30,000 people. You remember that's the times of Idi Amin. Idi Amin ate his own son's heart, all right? So, you know, there was some strange stuff going on. The 82 to 85 famine caused by the Mozambican civil war in Mozambique, 100,000 people. Then we have the Ethiopia, we had 400 to 600,000 in 85. Then famine caused by drought, economic crisis, and second Sudanese civil war, we have 240,000. Then we have, in 88, we have famine caused by the second Sudanese war, 100,000. Then famine caused by sanctions to Iraq. This is 1990 to 2003. That's like, you know, 20 years ago. And we had 500,000 people die of starvation. Then we have famine in Somalia caused by drought and civil war, 300,000 people. Then 97, we had the Cuban special period caused by the fall of communism in Eastern European. I didn't put the number down there. But then we have 1993, the Sudan famine in Sudan. Then we have the 94, 98. North Korean famine, scholars estimate 600,000 died of starvation. Others estimate ranges of 200,000 to 3.5 million. Then we have North Korea, 200,000 to 3.5 million. Then we have the 1988 Sudan famine caused by war and drought, 70,000. Then in Afghanistan, another 1,098. Famine in Ethiopia, the situation worsened by the Eritrean or Ethiopian war. In 2004, we see 2.7 million people died mostly from starvation and disease in the Republic of Congo. Then that's 2.7 million. Then we have 200,000 in the Darfur, Sudan in 2005. 2006, we have the Niger food crisis. At least 3 million people were affected in Niger and 10 million throughout Western Africa. And then we have the famine in Somalia brought on in 2011 by the East African drought. 285,000 people. Then we have the famine in West Africa brought on by... See, it just goes on and on and on. You know, I mean, I hope I'm not boring you, but I want you to know, I want you to have some hard knowledge in your brains that this world is just a pest house. I mean, it's not just look at me, I'm an American. It's look at the world. Okay? 2016, we have Yemen, the civil war and subsequent blockade by Yemen from Saudi Arabia, 85,000 children, unknown numbers of adults. Then we have the famine in Somalia due to 2017 Somalian desert. And we have famine in Nigeria. So it just keeps going on and on and on. Okay, now this is a kind of a map, shows you the million in millions. Yeah, China, 10 million, almost 11 million. You have Indonesia, almost 8 million. Soviet Union, between 8 and 10 million. I mean, just a lot of people died. A lot of people, you know, that you're going to meet. You know, a lot of people that were in another age, but they were Christian people, and you're going to meet them. So you better learn now that, you know, God's word, Jesus said, just listen, one of the 52 items, and I showed you page of statistics. One of the 52 things, you know, how often have we brushed over where he said there would be famines and pestilence and this and that, and we brush over it, and we don't do a deep dive on it. Well, today we're doing a deep dive, all right? And you are seeing, okay? This is the dates here. You can see about 2001 right here, and now in 2016, 17, 18, 2018, you see it's up around 12,000, okay. Pestilence, which are plagues, and need I remind you, we have had worldwide outbreaks all over the world. Pestilence is number 9, okay. He says famines and pestilence. What will be the time of thy coming? I don't think that stuff happens in an instant. But it comes, what will be the sign of thy parousia? What will be the sign of your presence among us? Well, you're going to have famines. We just went through a whole bunch of famines. And you're going to have pestilence. This chart is pestilence of people who have died from pestilence and how many pestilence we have had. Okay. Notice the number of bat-related viruses shot up extremely during the Obama administration through the Trump administration. The one thing in common was Dr. Fauci ran a Department of Health during that time. And notice, these are all bat-related plagues. 10,000, 12,000 in the last few years under Obama and under Bush. Because why? Dr. Fauci was conducting his tests. And you don't conduct tests without subjects. And you don't have subjects without having men in white hide the results. So you've got your instigators, and this is all taking place. So anyway, then this chart is of the deaths due to pandemic situation going through history. You would think with the advance of science during the past 90 years since the angel came, Brother Bram, that we would end all pandemics. But this just shows that Jesus warning to us about the plagues at the end time. So we have a chart of plagues. This chart compares all pandemics to the last one, which we can say, we can't say out loud, all right? But you can read it for yourself. And maybe I'll just even cover up the little thing there, and we'll start about 1830. All right, so. Anyway, this one chart on the side is, you know what, because you just read it. This one here is other pandemics. So you see all the pandemics. I'm not going to spend the time to read, but they're basically, most of them are influenza, H1N1, H2N2, influenza, H3NB, you know, all kinds of things. So, you know, we are going to see another pandemic this fall. We're going, because they're already prepared for it. They already told us what it's going to be. So you better be prepared. All I'm saying is, you know, churches will be shut down. Store lines will have lines again. Food on the shelf will diminish. There won't be any toilet paper, so you better stock up now. And you better know that when a prophet of God warns us these things are coming, they are coming. Don't be sitting at home saying, hey, but it won't affect me because I'm bride. It will affect you. It affected Goshen. It affected Egypt. It affected everybody. So, my goodness, people, to sit and hear how many times Brother Ram talked about germ warfare, and Jesus even says there'll be plagues, and we see a chart here of plagues and all the plagues that we've had, and you see this chart here, COVID, I better not say it, compared to other major viruses, and shows what those viruses are, even Marburg and monkeypox, just you name it. I mean, it's just incredible. And a lot of them are man-made. You know, they say the HIV was man-made. It was made and it was one of the gals who worked on it. She reported it, and they fired her for reporting it. But it was done during the Fauci times, okay? Then Fauci takes great privilege to claim that he is the one who come up with the HIV vaccine. There's no HIV vaccine, but the guy who discovered it and isolated it, he died recently, but he also was against, you know, these vaccines and all that. But I'm just showing you people, and I won't say much about it, so, you know, you can see it for yourself. Increase in earthquakes then, because then he says, what? Okay, you're going to have wars, rumors of wars. It's going to kill all these people. All these wars take place. Then you're going to have your plagues. All these plagues are listed. Famines. All these famines are listed. And now earthquakes. Okay? Earthquakes in many places, 7, and earthquakes in diverse places. Okay? These are the 7.0 and above, and there's been all kinds of earthquakes. This one is the number of earthquakes. You can see, you know, we're up around 2,500 here. And, it's just complete, you know, in various places. I mean, they're all over the world. Now, here's a map of he said, and then they will persecute you. We don't think too much about persecution because we live where supposedly we have freedom of speech, and yet you can't put things on Twitter because you can't put religious things like, you know, you couldn't put Romans chapter 1, verses 23 to 27 because it speaks against the sodomites. You know, so you gotta talk. See, the Christians today, this is why I say, I read, you know, Martin Luther said, you know, they read the scripture and it becomes a table, it becomes a stumbling block. Why? Because they read it, but they won't say it. You know, like, they won't say the LGBTQ, they won't say the sodomites, they won't speak against them. Their mouths are shut because of whatever. I don't care. You know, if they want to take me off of YouTube, hey, there's about 1,000 different places I can put you back right on. So, you know, we already have Rumble, we already have, Christian World Media, we already have our website. So, you know, I don't really care. They're gonna go to hell anyway, as far as I'm concerned. And you know, I'm not talking out of my head. I'm not talking like, oh, you're just a guy who's had a stroke so you can say evil things. No, I'm standing for the Word. Amen. And you better stand for the Word or God won't stand for you. Okay? You better start talking it. All right? Now, this is where this map here shows Christian persecutions and doesn't even show the United States where most of them are taking place. All right? So you see all these countries where Christians are being persecuted. Listen, Mexico. You know, the Catholic Church, the priest will go into a, you know, he say, hey, there's a little mission down there. I want you guys to go down there and rough them up or kill them. And they kill them. And it's put in the world, it's put in the, you know, on the news now, and so-and-so, these people were killed by drug lords. No, they weren't. They're killed by a Catholic priest. You know, most of the drug lords are Catholic themselves. They're all got their novenas and their, you know, their little scapulas and they, you know, they say their prayers and you know, that they pay their money to the church and, you know, it's all a bunch of hogwash. You know, we are the most persecuted people on earth today. Don't you know that? And it's not the 1.5 million Catholics, even though some of them are being persecuted. It's the 500 million Christians. All right. The amount of people who were persecuted in their faith last year, more than 2,100 churches, 2,100 churches were attacked or closed. More than 124,000 Christians were forcibly displaced from their homes because of their faith. More than 15,000 became refugees. No wonder the scripture says they were hunted and you know, in Romans 11 about, you know, they're looking for a city to come and, you know, whose builder maker is God, and they were hunted and abused and everything else. That's not just back then. I'm talking about right now. All right? In sub-Saharan Africa, the epicenter of global Christianity is now also the epicenter of violence against Christians as Islamist extremism has spread well beyond Nigeria. And North Korea is back at number one. According to the 2023 World Watch, the latest annual accounting from Open Doors of the top 50 countries where it's most dangerous and difficult to be a Christian. Now, isn't it really interesting? I'm going to tell you something. You probably don't know it. But the leader of Korea, his grandfather was a Christian missionary, and his mother was a Christian. Do you know that? Did you know that? Then you have illegitimate, I'm not ill, well, then you have sons that are just illegitimate to the word, like Esau, okay? In a matter of one generation, the nation of Korea went from being a Christian nation with many, many missionaries to being hostile toward Christianity, all right? And North Korea is back to number one, okay? The concerning tallies of martyrdom and churches attacks are actually lower than last year's report, but Open Doors emphasize they are an absolute minimum figure and is quick to note the date or the data declines does not suggest real improvement in religious freedom. For example, the reduction in church closure was due in large part to Chinese officials having closed almost 7,000 churches over the prior 2 years. Now listen, you say, well, you know, we need Trump back. No, you know what? In 2020, the churches were closed under Trump. Did you know that? It was under Trump. He let it happen. He could have had an executive order saying, you don't touch the churches. There's no proof of masks. That masks will help you. He could have done that. He didn't do it. So don't look to politics. It will never be your stay. You look to God because you're going to get out of here. For example, a reduction in church closures were due in large part to Chinese officials having closed almost 7,000 churches over the prior 2 years, and a drop of Afghanistan from number one last year to nine this year offers a little cheer because it's driven by how most Afghan Christians went deep into hiding or fled overseas after the Taliban swept over. So, you see, even this picture is skewed because certain things are reported, not reported. Why aren't they reporting in red the United States of America? They shut down 2,000, you know, in I don't know how many churches. I would like to know how many churches were shut down in 2020. I'd like to know that. This church was not shut down, and we won't be shut down. They'll have to shoot us before. And I'd say, hey, you know what? You come with your rifle, point it right here, and get it over with. Because this body is a hindrance to me. And I'll quickly and instantly be 16 to 20 years old, maybe for a period in a celestial body, but I'm coming back and it's going to be glorified body. And you'll never get rid of that body because that's eternal. All right. So, Sub-Saharan Africa, the epicenter of global Christianity, is now the epicenter of violence. Okay, concerning the tallies. Let me just continue. For example, the reduction in church closure was due to large part Chinese closing down. Okay, the number one last year, All right, so over the same period of last year, 360 million Christians live in nations with high levels of persecution or discrimination. 360 million Christians live with high levels of persecution or discrimination. That's one in seven Christians worldwide, including one in five believers in Africa, two in five in Asia, and one in 15 in Latin America. And for the third time in three decades of tracking, all 50 nations scoring high enough to register very high prospective levels on open doors, a matrix of more than 80 questions. So did five more nations that fell just outside the cutoff. All right? 55 nations are considered extremely difficult to live in as a Christian. Okay. Islamic extremism continues to cause the most persecution, 31 nations, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, where open door fears Nigeria will soon trigger a vast humanitarian catastrophe across the continent. Researchers also noted how China has increased digital restrictions and surveillance and is forging a network of nations seeking to redefine human rights. So when they monitor your WhatsApp and your Twitter and everything that you have, your telephone calls, your texting and everything else, that's persecution. Now, you might not feel it because you say, you know, a lot of Americans say, well, I don't care if they want to read what I got to say, go ahead. No, not go ahead. I didn't send it to them. I don't want them to see it. That's the Fourth Amendment right that we have. All right. But, you know, you let it happen. You just say, well, I don't vote because I don't want. Listen, just if you're going to vote, just vote no and put in some funky, you know, put in Mickey Mouse or something, because that's all it's worth. You know, good grief, I voted for Brother Vail, instead of Bush. All right. So the purpose of an annual worldwide ranking, whatever, which have chronicled how North Korea has competition as persecution gets worse and worse, is a guide to prayers and aims for more effective anger, while showing persecuted believers that they are not forgotten. In other words, if you're going to get angry with anything, get angry with what they're doing to the Christian community. The 2023 version tracks the time period from October 21st, 2021 to September 30th, 2022, and is compiled from grassroots reports by more than 4,000 open door workers across more than 60 countries. Today's report also marks 30 years of the list, first created in 1993 after the Iron Curtain fell. What they've learned from that time is, first, it is clear that persecution continues to worsen. Second, the number of countries hitting the WWL threshold to be tracked has risen from 40 in 1993 to 76 today, and the average country score has gone up by 25%. In short, the persecuted church has taught open doors the truth of 1 Corinthians 2:26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Okay. So where are the Christians most persecuted today? Afghanistan does not represent the only substantial change in this year's ranking. Cuba moved to number 27, up from 37, due to the intensification of repressive tactics against Christian leaders and activists opposing communist principles. Prior to widespread denomination in 2021, it didn't even rank. Burkina Faso moved to number 23, up from number 32, due to increased jihadist activity, exacerbated by similar instability in neighboring Sahel nations. Mozambique moved to 32, up from 41 due to Islamic militants in northern region, and Colombia moved to 22, up from number 30 due to targeted violence against Christians by criminal gangs. You know, I knew some pastor in Cuba. They have to have their church services out in the jungle. They don't recommend telling, you know, from one to another. They basically know about 2 days in advance, or maybe one day. They say, tomorrow, meet me at such and such a field. And so then the people come. They can't broadcast it by Twitter, by fax, by text, by email, by any other means, or they would be in jail. So keep the brothers in Cuba in prayer. It's very, very volatile what's taking place. Comoros joined the list at number 42, rising 11 spots, due to increased government paranoia. Only foreigners there are allowed religious freedom. Listen, you can watch for Kenya. I don't even know if they're on this list here. They're not in the top 11. But Kenya is going to move up. And I'll tell you why. Because we've had some nutcases cause their people to die of starvation, 300 people in one message church, said, well, we got to get out of here. We got to go see Lord Jesus. So let's just, everybody starve to death, and then you'll see him. Good grief. You know, my mother would say, you know, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Well, I don't believe in that Catholic stuff, but you know what I'm saying. It's just totally ridiculous. These people are just totally inept, totally shouldn't be in the pulpit, and yet they'll blame Brother Branham, and they'll blame the Voice of God because they're their books that they found, and the president of their country is a Christian, and he vowed that they will get to the bottom of this. So you can watch for Kenya to be added to the world persecution of Christians, okay? And it'll be message Christians that'll be persecuted next. And I remember years ago, there was a video or a photograph floating around from South America. The Pope was there, and he held up two message books, and he said, this is our greatest enemy. So we know it's coming, and we just haven't seen nothing yet. We'll see it in this country. So here it's hardest to follow Jesus. North Korea, Somalia, Yemen, Eritrea, and we do have people from Eritrea that come to our website. Libya, Nigeria, Pakistan, Iran. I have all of those. I've talked to brothers from Pakistan, from Iran. We've got Afghanistan and Sudan, India. We've got three brothers we support every month in India. And you should be hated of all nations for my name's sake. All right, well, that was only number 13. Now, number 14, Christians are hated of all nations. All right, we're showing you this. Number 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. If we don't see hate as the number one thing in this country, I don't know what is. You can't say nothing about LGBT because you're going to be censored. So come on, YouTube, censor me. Who cares? You'll be censored. All right? You'll be censored. I call them sodomites, and I don't even think YouTube knows what that means. So I call them sodomites. Or, you know what? Call them the old-fashioned names. You know, they used to call them faggots. Well, you know what a faggot is? It's an English word. You know what it means? A burning stick. That's what a faggot is, a burning stick. That's what Nixon called them, faggots. So call them what Nixon called them, faggots, okay? Number 15, okay, verse 10. There'll be many stumbling blocks, okay? Well, I already read you this morning what a stumbling block is from Luther. It's where men take the Bible, they preach from the Bible, the same Bible you read, only they don't know what, they haven't seen it manifested. You know, but they're reading it, and see, it's a word of another age. They're looking backwards at it, all right? Many shall betray others, which means to sell them out and turn against them. Look, John Collins was raised in this message, raised in a reverent home, raised to be a godly Christian, and he turned to just a sodomite who believes in LGBT and all that other stuff, and anything that's against Brother Bram, he's for it. He's against Brother Branham. He's called Brother Branham a liar, everything else. He's, by the way, he has blasphemed. He will burn in hell. You cannot talk to John Collins today and change his mind. He's a reprobate. Okay? And all of the only believe or believe the sign people. Reprobate. You can't change your mind, so don't even try. Many show, I try, you know what? I started to, and God told me not to. He said they won't believe it anyway. So I just let them go their way. After two admonitions, just let them be. Doesn't mean you talk bad about them. Doesn't mean this and that. But a reprobate is an unchangeable mind, okay? So a reprobate, I can call them a reprobate because that means their mind is made up. They're not gonna go anyplace with it. Anyway. You know, we sit here and we're reading things that have come to pass today. They can read the same Bible you read and they don't see it. All right. Now, I'm not saying you should have a war with everybody that doesn't believe like you do and call them reprobate. But I can't call certain ones reprobate who have led the opposition, so to speak, and they've called Brother Branham all kinds of names. I would say that person is a reprobate. All right. Many show hate. These can be best summed up with a world crime chart on hate. All right. And it is color-coded, and you can see the darker states, that's the United States and Alaska and different places in the world. I can't read the, and I don't think you can read it either, but anyway, the chart, you can read it actually on the PDF, okay? So get the PDF and you can read it. But there's a chart of countries, this is a level of countries, so you can see the United States, and you can see, you know, different countries are bad, but you see even worse are these countries here where you might have thousands of people that are killed per 100,000, like in Mexico. You know, God bless, you know, all the Mexicans. They believe in Mother Mary and all this other stuff, and yet they have the highest kill rate around the world. All right? So they're religious, but they kill. Same with Islam. All right? And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and many false prophets shall rise. Notice, many false prophets. This is just a meme, if you want to call it, listing many of the false prophets. Now, this is not all of them, because the guys who make this sign, the guys who made this, that's on their website, are false prophets too. They're Trinitarian false prophets. And all of these are Trinitarian false prophets. But they're also money grubbers. You know, they make millions of dollars selling you a false gospel. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, we in the message have a hard time loving. Not because of you, but because of them. We should not let them affect our love for you. All right? We should only let our love for you affect our relationship with you. But we should not let our hatred of what's going on in the world affect our love for one another. We should draw closer during this time and not draw further apart. Okay? Now, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. If ever there were hate, it is today. The left hates the right. The LGBTQRZ, XYZ, LMNOP, whatever, hate Christians, okay? The world is filled with hate. You can't quote from the scripture about the Lord Jesus or the love of God without them perverting it in some way. Even their sodomite lesbians get up and they got a God is for lesbianism. No, God is not for lesbianism. There will not be one. Listen, one thing you have on your mind is that you are going to a place where there will not be any LGBT people. There will not be any homosexual people. There will not be any lesbian people. And God will put a wall around the city you live in that they can't enter in. Nothing that defiles can enter in. So, we're going to have a peaceful existence, okay? All right. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And we are at the end time. We are enduring. We shall be saved, okay? Number 20, verse 13. There will be an ordained group who will endure and will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. So 21, the gospel will be preached in all nations. The internet makes this possible. The message doctrine goes into 190 countries, and so does the voice of God. And there's only 196 in all the world. And some of those are very rinky-dink, and we don't know if you know, because we haven't seen evidence. I mean, I haven't looked in 10 years to see who's coming or who's going. But I know even the Vatican, which is a city-state, shows up on our website. So, you know, we know that we have them all, okay? When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, who readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, that was not for this time. That was actually for his first coming, because the abomination of desolation was the Roman seal, the Roman eagle they put in Jerusalem, and they attacked the walls. They besieged Jerusalem for 70 days, Titus did in 70 AD, and starved the people, and they ate their children and everything else. But Josephus said not one Christian was in the city, not one Christian died in the Roman siege. Why? Because Jesus said, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. Now, another thing on that. Alpha's Omega. So he said, you know, blessed are them that don't give suck in them days. Why? Because of child pedophilia. It is at an estimated range that is just so, you wouldn't believe what's going on. And like, I can't remember who said, Trump, I think you might have said it, but I heard it from someone else. But at least 30% of those people in Washington, D.C. are part of it. Or they, like Brother Brown said, if you know a crime is taking place and you don't stand up and say anything against it, you will be guilty of that crime. So those people in D.C. area where pedophilia is rampant, where they're selling, listen, they're not just selling bodies for sex. Get that out of your mind. They are selling bodies for spare parts. It's the biggest, probably one of the biggest industries, billion-dollar industry. What do you think Jeffrey Epstein was all about? He was breeding a perfect human. Give me a break. Him and all these 50 women that were captive, and he's breeding a perfect woman. He'd breed a bunch of ingrates. I mean, a bunch of morons. But because they got the money, they do what they want. You can't stop them because you don't have the money. You know, so let the fire fall is what I say. All right. Then let them be. Okay. So for there should be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. Number 23. We see in verse 22, the tribulation which the world is in the process of building to in their godless legislation. Okay. Now remember, a squeeze is an economic term. Wall Street uses it all the time. But a squeeze turns into a tribulation. All right? You can do so much, famine, wars, pestilence, germ warfare, killing off the population, and then electronic money to where if they say, well, you believe William Branham, bing, you have no account. You have no money. You have no access to your money. You are going to starve. All right? They are so evil that no flesh would be saved. That's why, for the elect's sake, God will shorten the days or no flesh would be saved. Fukushima, chemtrails, water poison, foods hybridized, nanotechnology, germ warfare, 5G, just to name a few, all right? Except the days be shortened, there would be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. So pretty soon, God must shorten it and take you out of here. Then they can have it. They can have their electronic cash. They can have all their plans and everything else, and it will be nothing but destruction. Now, when I get to the economic depression judgment, I want you to, as homework, read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Notice the first 15 verses are blessings if you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Who's the voice? God's prophets, his word. But if you don't hearken, now from 15 and on, all these curses will come on you and will overtake you. And I'm going to leave out most of them, but I'm going to, in that sermon, I will just talk on all the economic things that have already taken place, and they are coming, and they have overtaken most of the people. I mean, the average person in America owes $30,000 in credit cards. Can you imagine? $30,000 in debt and credit card. The average student is $36,000 in college debt. It's time that you pay off everything. It's time you get ready to go. You might say, well, why pay it off if I'm going to go? Because you can leave a free man. That's all I'm saying. So we see then, there will be many claiming to be anointed at this time. Listen, when you give out, a government gives out 0% interest rates, then if you got money in the bank, you get 0%. All right? Why do they do 0%? Because they need more money. They need not to pay the trillions of dollars in interest rates. So they'll go down to zero. What does that mean? They're going to have to find it from the Fed. The Fed has a huge list of money that's outstanding. Where does the Fed get it from? Oh, well, they just got a computer that says, okay, we need a million digits. Okay, a million digits. You got now a million digits. You can now go to your printing press and they can print it up for you. But you owe us that money. You owe us that money itself, and you owe us the interest rate. So we'll keep it down. For now, we'll keep it at 0%. But you still owe us the million, the trillions, or, let's just spend $1.7 trillion in Ukraine. Oh, we do it. And you know what I say? I say, if I ran for president, I say, I want everybody in to contribute. I want you to send me your old, you can wipe them clean, your old computer disks. We're going to collect as many digits as we can and send it to the Fed and pay off the debt. Hallelujah. We're debt free. Why? Because we just sent them digits that don't exist. And they can have their digits and eat it too, as far as I'm concerned. So if they're charging you for digits, why not give them back digits, right? All right, well, that's what I would do. But I would never make it as president. They'd shoot me first, so. Joel 2:28. Then if any man will say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. So we see there will be many claiming to be anointed at this time. It began with the Pentecostal expression of a million more in 44 until the Pentecostal churches took over and became the leader in church growth. And this includes the charismatic churches and message churches as well. The rain is falling on the just and the unjust. The anointing began to fall on the unjust. The same spirit that fell on the just is also falling on the tares. The same rain that falls on the wheat also on the tares as well. But guess what? There's only one thing that will not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. So they're both going to go. But my word will not. So he didn't say my spirit will not. You can have his spirit on you all day long. You can be baptized every hour of the day and go to hell. If you don't have his word planted in your soul as a seed of God, you're just lost, okay? Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. For there shall arise false Christ. Okay, number 22, and I think we're going to close here. Arising or false Christ. false anointing. Now, that's only 22. Remember, 22 things that are coming is what you got today. But Jesus alone gave us 52. So, you see, you've only seen the, you just seen a part, okay, 40% of what Jesus said. Then you got what Paul said, and what Peter said, and what James said, and what John said. You see, so we're going to look at the others this evening, the other 86 minus 22 is other 64. We're not going to use as many pictures, and we're not going to use graphs and spend time on those things. But we did in the beginning here just to let you know it's all around you. Just open your eyes, brother, sister. Do your own charts. Go to Matthew 24. Look up any one of the things that Jesus said would take place and see if it is not happening all around you today. That's my request from you. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for all this information. And Lord, I know that many of us, we know these things kind of. But today we saw them more in a explicit way, that we see how vast it is. You know, we heard of persecutions, but we didn't realize 360 million of your Christian believers around the world are being persecuted. We believe in, you know, that there might be a famine over in Malawi or someplace in the world, but actually when we look at the charts, we didn't realize that they're taking place in many countries all over the world and have since your parousia came. And so, Lord, we realize we're stupid people. We're ignorant people because we've got our head in the sand. But help us to take our head out of the sand. Read your scripture daily. Just if we could just take one attribute of your presence daily and focus on that in our studies, we would find that, oh my, just we would be inundated with information. So Lord, thankful for it, and we ask you to bless now the sermon. May it truly bring forth fruit, and this evening's sermon, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.